Jimbo, can you pinpoint just position groups overall that from the day one through day, whether it's 9 or 10 at this point, has really made significant progress in your estimation?
I think they all have. And I know that's a cliche, one thinks, but it's not. I mean, because I think there was so much room to grow in because of knowledge of what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? Not because of lack of ability or lack of anything they've done in the past. It was because of you never could see what a guy could totally do until he starts to grasp what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to do it consistently. And I think our guys have taken a great attitude that way. I mean, you can make it all the way across. I mean, our young tight ends, Jay's coming here for time, our receivers, the DBs, secondaries made some great progress, the front, the linebackers. I mean, they all have the backs, quarterbacks. I know that sounds crazy, but and we're not where we need to be, but I think they're just now grasping enough of the knowledge and the nuances. I mean, the little things that really allow you to play consistent and make plays when you're supposed to make plays, and they're just not getting that information to where they feel comfortable with it consistently and recognize the looks, all right, versus that look, versus this look, versus whether it's offense or defense. And I think either way, they're just – and so right now, in the last, I'm going to say four practices, you're starting to see that a lot more consistent, not at the level we need, but – and it's fun. It's fun to watch them. So I think we've made significant progress.
Right middle, Sam.
Jimbo, what kind of separation, if any, have you seen any of the quarterbacks make?
I think both have played. And I think they're both rising each other's game because I think they see one guy make a play, they go out and the competition has, you know, forced them to be consistent and make and also have when you got the opportunity to make plays, make them. And I've been very – their decision-making has been very good. Our accuracy is getting much better as we're learning the receivers, the backs, the decision-making process and what they have to do and how they're doing it and getting used to them and how – within this offense, they, you know, they have to be hit or when they have to be hit. And but, no, I mean, I think both guys are pressing each other very well and doing a good job. I mean, you say that, I feel comfortable with both guys. I really do.
Far left, Cease.
How has the mesh with you and Coach Dickey gone through spring and now the fall practice?
Very easy.
Gone forward?
Very easy because, we see things very similarly. Have a lot of same philosophies on a lot of things. And communications, he's a great guy, an easy guy to communicate with. As I am, too. I'm never mad, upset, or disturbed. No, that's probably a tougher on his part. No, but it's been very good. And I think also the understanding of the rest of our staff. Because guys, I can say Coach Dickey I've had background with, Coach Brewster I've had it, Coach Craig I've had it, Jay I've had it. Jim's the only guy I've never been around as much, but our philosophies are very similar, and he loves what we're doing and how we're doing things. So, and he's bringing a lot to the table, different ideas he has. So I think it's been well, and Daryl's done a great job of scripting and getting things ran that we need to get ran.
Second row right, Ben, then Suzanne.
Jimbo, why has Mon made this a competition in the fall, and what has he done to really be impress you so far?
I don't understand the question. Why has he made it a competition?
Yeah, why is he making it as close as he is? What's he done well?
Played very well. Set in the pocket, made decisions, been accurate, led his team, played with good toughness, played with consistency, made throws down the field, understood blitzes, understood run checks, has done everything he's supposed to do. I mean, guy started, what, 7 games last year and did well. I mean, guy's played a lot of football. So, I mean, I would have expected him to do that.
Suzanne, third row right.
Hey, Jimbo, this is kind of a big picture question. Everybody around the country, teams, programs are sinking millions and millions and millions of dollars into their facilities. You guys have already done that. But what is on your wish list that you'd like to see the next thing done for football?
Well, I think as far – there'll be some facility things. And here's the thing. When you build facilities, the worst thing you can do is stop. Because they become obsolete very quickly because people match you. You have to have plans to upgrade, future, expand on different things, and we will see. But right now, we also got to invest in people and also putting support programs and things in place for these kids behind the scenes that they deal with so many different things. Like I said before, and I've said many, many times, kids today deal with so many different pressures and obstacles and scrutiny that they've never dealt with before in their life because of social media and the expansion of the ability to have information and do things and how they're talked about, criticized, or glorified, whatever it may be on social media by players because there's no secrets of anything that happens anymore. So there's a lot of things behind it, dealing with pressure, dealing with mental pressure, dealing with mental health issues. I think mental health is one of the greatest things we've known in our country, period. Now you're putting these young kids under the scrutiny and pressure they are and keep putting people in place that let them how to deal with those things, how to think, how to deal with the pressures to be able to perform at a high level and not feel the anxieties and things that go on. There's a lot of things behind the scenes and the people in which we have that we have to, and programs we are putting in place that are greatly involved in them. And there's going to be some things as we upgrade facilities. You upgrade a weight room, you upgrade an indoor facility, you upgrade the academic wing, which is very important because, you know, you got to have kids to have success in all areas and to be successful. So there's a lot of different things that we'll continue to do in the future. There's nothing I would say is in order right now. But right now we're trying to invest in people and put things in place behind to have enough support staff to really help these kids develop as people, as students, and then as players.
Third row right, Sam.
Jimbo, you guys have had tremendous success on the recruiting trail. What would you attribute that to, or what is you guys selling that has caused you to be so successful on the recruiting trail?
I think it's a lot of hard work and building relationships and getting people to see the vision and things you have, and to also sell the things you have as far as what this university has to offer. And like I said, I think this university, as much as any in the country, can affect you personally, academically, athletically, and then professionally when the air is out of the ball at some time, as well as anybody in America. I think the Aggie Network is set up to help our players at the end as well as anything. It's a great academic school. The culture of the school, the people here are very accommodating and nice, and you want to be around them. And athletically, we have all the things and the resources here that the people can see that we can be developed, and you're in a great recruiting base. And I think we're just selling that and also go out and out spending time building relationships. Recruiting is about relationships, and they have to believe in the vision you have. And I think we have an excellent staff that guys want to play for. I think we've had proven coaches that have had success that, as coaches and as developing players in different ways, and I think our staff's doing one heck of a job, and then the support staff in which we have is doing a great job. I think, as I say, you invest in people, and when people come in here with the people we have, I'm letting everyone understand how important each individual is that comes here, which is the way you want it done. And I think all those things with a tremendous product to sell, I mean, it's all coming together.
Right side front, Jenny, then we'll go Travis, and then Brent.
Coming here that A&M had a special, unique feeling and culture, and you just alluded to that right there. What's it been like being out on the field and just being here and learning more of these traditions and kind of seeing the reaction? I'm sure even the town is buzzing already about football. What has that been like for you?
It's very eye-opening because, you know, you hear about traditions, you hear about culture, and every place has them. But I don't think people live them to the extent sometimes that A&M people do. I mean, they truly live for A&M. And what they believe and what they do. And that's not a cut on anybody else. I think it's a great compliment to A&M. And then the giving and the people, way people just care about the university and how they care about the university. And you know, it is. It's kind of more than I even thought. It really is. And that's not because I'm here and it's not a recruiting trying to tell everybody to make everything happy. It's just the people truly believe and invest in this university in every way, shape, and form. Not just financially, but emotionally, psychologically, every way you can invest in it.
Left row front, Travis, and then Brent.
Hey, Coach, with Kwame Etway taking a lot of the reps with the twos, is there a different kind of mentality you get from a walk-on player playing in that kind of position, and how frequently have you had a walk-on in that kind of position?
You know, I've had them before. I mean, there was a team that we were undefeated with at Auburn that had a guy named Willie Whitehead who walked on and became a 13-year pro, and our middle linebacker, Jason Miska, was a starting linebacker, was a walk-on. I mean, there was quite a few guys on that team that had done things like that. And I don't think of him as a walk-on. I think of him as a heck of a football player. I mean, I really do. I mean, just now getting evaluated. I mean, very consistent, very smart, very tough, and very dynamic. Has good explosion, catches the ball, and he's doing a heck of a job.
Right side front, Brent.
Because recruiting is about relationships, are you surprised at how quickly y'all have been right up there in the mix with the likes of Alabama, Georgia, you know, right among the top, only a few months into this deal?
You know, you could say, yeah, but the world today is so different because of the ability, I could say, the accessibility you have with communication with social media and being able to get to people and get people to know you and speak, you know, whether when you're texting or whatever you're allowed to do electronically to communicate, even when it's not calls. And now people can pick the phone up and call you. Or kids, you know, back in the day, I think it took so much time because you couldn't communicate. I mean, think about it. I always say this all the time. When you recruited a player, you called home and got mama. Was he home? No, he's down the road with Johnny. Now he's over here. He's over here with Bob. I mean, he wasn't at home or you called the coach. If it wasn't at those two places, think about it. You could never talk to him. And if you weren't by a phone, you know what I'm saying? And now with just, you know, you're sitting in a meeting and a kid texts you. You can text him back. And all of a sudden he calls you. Then, I mean, I think that has opened that up where those things can be done much quicker because of the amount of communication you're allowed to have. And then I think the other thing we've done a good job of, kids have came here. And I think the location of A&M being so centrally located close to Houston, close to Dallas, you know, close to Austin, close to San Antonio, your four major cities, and in East Texas, nothing's that far. So I think for those kids to drive over on weekends and do things, have gotten here, enjoyed it. And then, of course, the guys from off are now, kids now are flying. It's just a world that recruiting is sped up, and they all want to make quicker decisions before their senior years or have it done. And it's just the world we live in, and our staff's done it. Now, it takes time. I mean, that's, you say, well, they can do it, but that's a lot of hours, and our staff's done a heck of a job.
Second row to right, Brian, and we'll go to the right side, Gabe and Ben.
A couple guys, we've seen
Who is that?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're just and have injuries, things that are going on. So there's rehabbing.
Okay, is Cordarian on scholarship?
Yes.
Okay. Right side, Gabe.
I know you want to be, Jimbo, more deeper at linebacker. We've talked about that mm-hmm. in the past. But how do you feel about those top four guys with Dotson Alaka, Buddy Johnson, and Anthony Hunt?
They're doing a great job. And KK, he's doing a great job, too. I mean, he's doing a great job in there, too. Those guys are playing well, getting consistent, giving them a lot of looks, too. They're getting a lot of different, you know, formations and things that are going after, being much more consistent in what they're doing. And I think they're playing very good football. I mean, they're playing very solid, good football. I mean, there's a lot of improvement because, as I say, all the nuances are picking things up. But they're doing a good job.
A couple more. Ben, right side.
When you took over the job, how important was it for y'all to recruit nationally, not just within the state of Texas or in the region, but to be able to recruit coast to coast for y'all to be, get to where you want to go?
Well, I think it's very important because I think there's always players out there across the country that are never in your little network or your 5 or 6 hour radius that you have to go get, you know what I mean? But now the good thing, we have a lot within that radius. So the big thing to do, and you got to be careful of, which a lot of national teams can do too, especially that you have a large recruiting base. You can get going so far out you don't pay attention to your own and do a great evaluation of your own people in your own state. And we have to make sure we work inside out all the time. But you can recognize there's certain players out there across that country that, you know, you got to have. I mean, they're as fine as they are in the country. They're not every player, unfortunately, lives in the state of Texas. I wish they did. It'd be a heck of a lot easier. But, you know, those great ones. And you identify those guys and you go a distance for a reason. You go to get guys that you think can change your program or bring something that you totally don't have. And it's very important. I think branding in that way and getting that out there. But I think television now, communications, it's making that much easier. And it's just something that, you know, the accessibility here, getting to the airport and having an airport right here that, you know, even getting the accessibility of flights into College Station, which is amazing to me, the amount of times you can do that to be able to recruit nationally. And the more that grows, the more that happens, it's going to help us even more.
Front row left, Zach.
Jimbo, I know we'll probably touch on this as it gets closer, but with your first game being on a Thursday night, what kind of problems does that present for you heading up to it, and that you have less time than, say, other teams to get prepared?
Well, you really don't, because you adjust your practices. You still only have the same amount of practices beforehand. There's only a certain amount you can have, and we max that limit just like we could have. So as far as the number of practices, the difference is going to be a school will be going on. It's a little distraction when you're in school and all the different things that you're doing here in town during a week. It's a little bit different. But usually the opening game, I'd rather have it on the opening game than I would at any other time on a Thursday, that's for sure, because once you get established into that routine, and hopefully it'll give us a couple extra days of rest and preparation for the next one.
Time for one or two more. Ben, right side.
Jimbo, what are you seeing out of Eric McCoy? Do you know where you want him at starting-wise?
He'll be at center guard. Right now he's at center for us, and does a great job because usually centers aren't quite that big. And when you got a guy that's athletic and can get second level, even pull, do the things he does at that position and still have the – you know, those sometimes can be your lighter guys. But then the girth and the power of things where you're getting pushed back on a quarterback in the pocket or, you know, holding a block and a one-on-one on a big nose guard and things. And he's a rare talent in that way, that he has size and athleticism to play in the middle and the flexibility to get second level. And I think he's an excellent player, I really do. And he's also very smart guy.
Sam,
which you love to have in your interior guys.
You'll wrap us up, third row right.
With the opener on a Thursday, when will you guys start game prep?
We'll go about 10 days before, 7 to 10 days before. We'll be in the practice. And we'll do some rep. We'll have prep for the first 3 or 4 guys off and on, things we'll do in camp that we think we have to have for those proponents, and then we'll go into regular game prep. Try to make it a normal game week for those guys.
All right, Coach. We'll get Coach Elko and Coach Dickey in here shortly.
Thank you.